It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and John Dennis. He's, going up against the big bad Nancy Pelosi in California. Congressional District 8, Northern California, San Francisco area. And, that's demonstrating, lack of some fear, at least, going up against that, doing, because Republican registration there is only what, John? What percentage of the voters?
Under 10% of the vote.
Woo! Man got a hill. But what's changed? What's changed is people are starting to flood away from the traditional parties. They are like, man, I'm not represented at all. And you know, how's that anti-war thing working out with Obama? I mean, come on. So this is an opportunity. But I wanted to talk. We started getting on the Rand Paul thing, and I want to give you my spiel on that and get your opinion, because I talked to Rand. I've known him during the campaign and so on, and I knew what he was up against. And he was running against the incumbent Secretary of State that had the establishment, Republican establishment backing in Kentucky. And I'm going, man, if you're worried about election fraud, man, that would have been the race to be worried about. So I'm going, so we paid a lot of attention to that. The thing was is that we were unable to bring, they were hoping that the Lovelution, that we would bring that kind of voluntary street activism kind of thing into that campaign because, of course, you know, it's Dr. Paul's son, and that we would be enthusiastic and go and embrace that. But some things were said, some, you know, kind of deviations were exposed to where it wouldn't be understood by the people anyway. It would not continue the credibility of the Lovelution, what the young people were about. In fact, he got enormous criticism. Then we had Campaign for Liberty had done some kind of crazy stuff, endorsing neocon U.S. Senate candidates in Colorado and spent money on that. So that kind of got a black eye there. That's one of the benefits of being totally outside, not in any organization, not really associated with any campaign. It gives you the freedom to do, and they think that I can get people to look. I can go, look, you know, let's go over to San Francisco. We go, they go, okay, well, maybe we'll go over there. They'll at least look at the offer, at the opportunity. But I can't make a single person do anything. All I can do is kind of lead by example. But if I got bad examples that I'm leading for, I'll lose my influence. I'll lose what I want, which is freeing minds. I will lose everything that I have worked for 22 years building an infrastructure for it to spark when I want it to, when people want it to, when we need it to. So I will never, ever jeopardize that. Ever, 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 one more ever, okay? So what happens is when I have Rand Paul's campaign, he's kind of fudging a little bit on the stuff to get the nomination or get elected and so on. All right, power be to you. We put up some free, stuff, let people know, put some news things, banner ad, whatever on the site and kind of, and let everybody know. But I need you to understand why we didn't get real behind Rand Paul. At Porkfest, when they have the thing, I was the introduction, 15-minute speech to the Soapbox Idol competition that they had. And John Bush, one of the guys, the defuse guys, went up, man, it was a rant against Rand Paul. I mean, he dumped on him. And the hundreds of people there were cheering. I'm going, wow, these guys know you can't bypass the youth. You can't lie to them. You can't deviate from principle. They will know. When we come back, we'll get John Dennis's comment on this and what we can expect in San Francisco if we go there and put the dog on. Woo! Have us some fun. We'll be right back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. You can declare your independence, too. It's really simple. You go like this. You go, I declare my independence. See how easy that was? You don't even need a government form. Easy, 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 easy. Now, we have John Dennis. He's running as the Republican nominee. He beat the establishment's favored individual going into the general election against Nancy Pelosi, Congressional 8, California, San Francisco. We were talking about Rand Paul, kind of how a lot of because we worked with Adam Kokesh. We did not have the assumption that he was going to win the nomination. He was going to be in it. That wasn't our point. We busted butt. You know, here out of Phoenix, going and did all our stuff, built all kinds of sign, making infrastructure, doing let them, you know, teaching them how to fish, going kicking butt and everything for over a year, helping make sure that the message got out. That was our win, which we do the same thing in San Francisco. But I have to know, where is the line? You know, when they start going on about, you know, things like Guantanamo or how fast we're going to get out of Afghanistan, when you start getting that, start tasting it, you might get a chance to win. You're even in the polls and so on. You know, I need to know where you're going to be, man.
Well, one thing I did want to mention, by the way, is that I like the way you approach things, because I think everybody needs to treat themselves as their own brand. You know, Ron Paul is his own brand, and he's his own guy. And sometimes it makes sense to attach your brand to his, you know, to his, and then it works. But I think Ron would be the last guy who would want people to put, to always have complete trust and faith in everything he did. He probably wants everyone to question the things that he does for them for their own sake, as much as he questions anything else. So your approach, I think, is the best way to go. You know, see what the facts, what they are, and you know, make your own judgment and see how you can contribute to the cause of individual liberty. And I think that's the right approach. And you know, Rand made his decisions and he won, and he won his campaign, and he's got to live with the consequences of his decision, which I think will be fine. I mean, it's that's what he believes in, but we all have to be the judge of the candidate, and never accept without thought or consideration what anybody else is saying, no matter how much you respect them.
You know, this is a lot of people. I don't know if it was expressed in the documentary, but the reason that I was so all in on Ron was because he had already proven himself for decades. I mean, I knew his rhetoric. I knew what he had spoken at two of our previous Freedom Summits that we do every year. He just spoke at the third one this last December. We have another one that's coming in the first week in December in 2010. A lot of great speakers already lined up. We're going to Freedom Fest this weekend to promote it and so on. I mean, so I've already known what Ron's rhetoric was. And I was able, as a mature, not starry-eyed, cynical, politic and free-in-mind kind of guy, I just don't go around throwing that level, which I had used in my campaign statewide in 2006. It had already been test marketed. I already knew how popular it was. Do I want to put, you know, Ron's name with my logo? I mean, that was the question. So the thing is, I'm going, you know, yeah, because I know what's going to happen. People want a revolution, but they don't want violence. They want a revolution. What do you put it around? What is a good example of it? What is someone that I can put my head down and plow and not have to worry about campaigns, not have to worry about what they're going to say, not worrying about, you know, if they kind of equivocate on something like Ron is an extremely rare example of that. I'm like, I can put my head down and plow. The only other person I had done that before was in 94 for Judge John Buttrick. He's a Superior Court judge now, may retire, may even run for president as a libertarian, was libertarian National Platform Committee chair. He's been on the LNC. He's a libertarian candidate for governor and legislator. I mean, he's big Harvard Law Grow kinds of special initials after his name. Top-notch individual. In 94, same kind of example. We knew as high up on the social ladder he was, he would never compromise libertarian principle. So we could put our head down and plow. I never, for 15 years goes by, I never have that opportunity again to do that, or 12 years, however long it was. I never had an opportunity to do that again until Dr. Paul. And I knew, I said, you know, I already know what we can accomplish. I already know. So, boom, here we go. When would I do it again? Would I do it for a son? No. Would I do it for you? I don't know. We're going to find out. But the thing is that it's sitting there. This entire passion, this army, this movement. And if you want to kill a movement, try to control it. You want to put a stop to all this lovely, try to control it. You can't. All you can do is kind of just put a spotlight on something. Well, you have an enormous opportunity for a spotlight. I have no problem going there. Heck, there may even be a libertarian candidate there, and they'll benefit too. It's all a freedom thing. Whatever. We don't care. But the thing that I want to make sure that it's clear to the audience, it's clear to the supporters, it's clear to the Levolution, it's clear to Freedom's Phoenix readers, listeners of this show, and people that I'm sure are going to listen from your campaign to this, because they were very adamant about making sure that you got exposure on this, because, man, they love you. They really like the fact that you are there. You have already proven yourself as being a hard worker for these kinds of issues. But I have to be very clear on this. You start waffling, you start smelling victory, you start going a little bit kind of, yeah, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture kind of stuff. Done. Zip. It's over. Go somewhere else. Because I cannot compete and associate that Levolution, that brand, with a compromised position on something. You see my point?
Sure. Absolutely. Well, all I can tell you is this, is that I debated in college. It was one of the great experiences of my life there. And every weekend in the second semester of my senior year, we would go all up and down the East Coast and, you know, debate all the great Ivy League schools, all the great schools that we have out there. And the guys from one of the Harvard teams started referring to me as calling me Adam Smith, you know, because back then I was arguing for the same things that I'm arguing for now, mostly from an economics point of view in those debates. But also because I just believe in the same things I believe in today: individual liberty, free markets, government's there to protect your rights. We're not here to live our lives for bureaucrats in D.C. We're here to live our lives for ourselves, our families, whatever it is that we choose, not for them. And, you know, that's my core principle. I'm going to be the best salesman I can be of individual liberty. But, you know, if we think the system is kind of doomed as it goes anyway right now, why not run on principle? You know, be as smart about it as possible, but run on principle. So
no,
those are the things I believe in.
I'm not asking for you to advocate for, you know, infants having machine guns issued to them at birth, which wouldn't be a bad idea. But, you know, the thing is that I mean, you know my point. It's better to say nothing than say something stupid.
So, absolutely.
So sure. I give you an example. We go, I mean, just off the top of my head, we're going there and it'd be, you know, John Dennis equals, you know, something good, truth, justice, American way, whatever. And Pelosi equals, you know, devil incarnate and whatever, and crazy logos and art. And we got all kinds of stuff. You saw what happened with the Levolution. How many different pieces of art, and it was freaking a tapestry. It was amazing, the diversity. So I don't even want to limit their thought process. Just go. We'll help with it. So I went around teaching people how to make those signs and stencils and use it. I didn't tell them what they should say. I just go, look, this is how you do it. Oh, what should I go? Hey, man, that's your deal. You know, I'm just showing you how. So we would go there, have all kinds of good time. I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to have the media that, in support of Pelosi, will come directly to you. Mr. Dennis, are you in support of that evil blah, 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 kind of whatever thing that, you know, they did over there? And then you're going to have to, hey, man, you know, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's a free speech. Go yell at them. I have no comment at this point. I mean, or something. But you go on and say, no, that one I wouldn't do, you know, then, okay, fine. Then we stop. You see my point?
Sure. You know, that's been a tough thing to face up to. All you can do is, just like I said before, is just be the best salesperson of your position that you can be without compromising it. So that's what I offer. And you know, if for some reason I disappoint you, then that's it. You know, so be it. But
well,
I don't think I will.
Heck, we're going to disappoint you. You know, we're going to be out there being crazy, crazy, because that's what's going to get the attention. I know, and it's separate from you, so what do you care? You know, and we're sending out the message, and if you are seen as part of that or supporting that, well, then that's where people that support that go to you. And if they don't, you're like, hey, man, I'm insulated from them. I don't know who they are anyway. You know, so
let me just say this. I know the difference between individual liberty and the folks in the liberty wing of the Republican Party and the nationalist wing, if you will. And there are times where we use the same language but with totally different intentions. I understand what the difference is, and I know what I believe in. And I think you guys will be happy with that. You know, get involved in the campaign on any level that you like, because it's campaigns like this that spark other people and inspire other people to continue to push the put the message out there. And ultimately, given the ascendancy of our message and the fact that the regime is falling apart, I think we can actually have a breakthrough in our lifetimes.
JohnDennis2010.com. John Dennis, easy to spell. It's like a radio name. Two first names. JohnDennis2010.com. We'll be talking about it some more and see what kind of fun we can have.
I'm
going to
go in. Okay, thanks, Ernest.
Well, hold on. You still there?
Yeah.
Hold on. I'll let you finish your thought when we come back. Just hold on a little bit more.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Oh, and the man be coming around, I guarantee you that. Well, there's somebody's got to go up against the man, or the woo man in Nancy Pelosi's case. We have John Dennis, JohnDennis2010.com, JohnDennis2010.com. John, we ran out of time. I wanted to let you finish your thought and make sure you can go out in style. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, well, you know, if you find the prospect of a liberty-oriented candidate taking on Nancy Pelosi, who, in my estimation, stands for the state. She's for the power of the state. And if you think that that's an interesting prospect, get involved in the campaign. It's I think it's a chance of a lifetime. And as you can well attest to, Ernest, that there's no there's nothing like fighting for what you believe in.
And you know, I want to. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's just one of the great things that's come out of this whole revolution.
You know, the one thing that I want to express, and hopefully I've given you an opportunity to express your desires and what you're wanting to do and the issues that you're about and freedom-oriented and such, and getting the endorsement from Dr. Paul, I'm sure has gives validity to a lot of people. And my thing is I want to make sure that I'm very clear, and certainly to the FEC. I don't join collectives. I have nothing to do with any kind of campaign that somebody else to promote you to do what that. I am all about how many minds can I free? And I go up and I say, Pelosi, not it. Not it. Then, you know, if there's a mechanism or a way I can use your campaign to kind of, you know, bring that as an alternative or an option or whatever. But I can't even remember anything that we ever did that even said vote. You know, you never saw it. It wasn't Ron Paul Revolution, vote Ron Paul, or Ron Paul Revolution 2008. I mean, it had nothing to do with that. Nothing. All that was a side effect of an awareness of people. That's where the power is. That's where I put my effort. That's what keeps me getting up every day, doing 5 hours a day on three networks, radio, pushing this, doing Freedom's Phoenix, all the activities I do, traveling around like every weekend, every other weekend. I'm going around the country doing just to see how many minds I can free while I still have the energy and youth to do it. That is what drives me. I can make use of Dr. Paul or John Dennis to help in that in key places like San Francisco. That is what I do. You are a tool, an opportunity for me to free minds. That is what's going on. That's what inspires me. What I can't do is I can't go and use that opportunity to go kick some butt and then have that brand or that effort get relabeled to something else that had something totally different to what we were trying to accomplish. That's why we got to be kind of separate and not inside the campaign. So when you say join the campaign at any level, well, I'm like, join the movement at any level. And the movement may include John Dennis. So there's a distinct difference way of looking at this. But I have no problem focusing attention on your race and however much you benefit from it. But from my perspective, it is an enormously great opportunity to have a win regardless of the vote total or if you even vote. So yep. That's where I'm at.
Absolutely, I agree, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to, you know, to freedom oriented audience like yours. I appreciate everything that you do for, you know, for the movement, and I know we're on the same side in this fight.
No, and that's why I'm glad we had this understanding, and we can put it on record for when the government comes after me for really pissing off Nancy Pelosi, because that's going to happen. I guarantee it. So when you got this.
Thank you very much. I've got to run. We're over time now, but I've got to go. But I'd love to, you know, come back sometime and update you again.
Oh, please, 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 and we'll you'll be hearing, you know, about what we're doing. You may not, you know, get any input, but you know, that's just the way it is. So thanks.
You're a hard guy to miss. I'm sure I'll hear about you.
Thanks, John. John Dennis. 2010.com. Go there. Thanks, John, for coming on. Now, I just want, this is a good show to have. Now, this is exactly the kind of, you know, same thing that I do with, you know, Adam Kokesh, that I've done with other candidates, you know, Brian Miller that's here in Arizona. Other people, they come on, I'm like, I want to make sure we're perfectly clear. If I personally get off my butt, sit down, you know, a beer, and get off and go actually do something, it's going to be to promote the concepts, the ideals, the philosophy of freedom. That, and I'm supposed to do what else? You know, help you get elected or votes that I don't trust the system anyway? Arr, I am not wasting a freaking moment on worrying about what people go into little cattle chutes and push electronic screens and the government gets to say what you said. No, heck no. Heck no. That's a side effect of something else. Of a change in culture, of a change in the way people think, a change in what people will tolerate. You know, what was it, you know, Frederick Douglass was saying? He's going, you find out he's a black man in post-Civil War and during slavery and all that kind of stuff, and educated individual, and he had a lot of great quotes and so on. One of them was, you want to find out what the people will endure? It's what they'll accept. You know, and what I'm doing is trying to change the culture. Like, look, we're not going to accept being slaves. I mean, in every sense. In every sense. No matter how long the leash is. You know, if you don't own yourself and your property and your the ability to sustain your life and your liberty, if you don't, then who does? You know, and if it's not you, you're a slave. You just don't know to who to yet. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Take it!
No, no, no.
You must take it!
You cannot offer me this ring!
I'm giving it to you!
Don't tempt me, Frodo! I dare not take it. Not even to keep it safe. Understand, Frodo. I would use this ring from a desire to do good. But through me, it would wield a power too great and terrible to imagine.
But it cannot stay in the Shire.
No. No, it can't.
What must I do?
Chuck it in the fires of Mordor. That's what you do. You know, this is the whole point that I get behind. People that they start to smell victory running for office, they're like, smells good, tastes good, less filling. And they you know, but I, you know, it's different. And if I'd had it, you know, I'd do good. Give me the ring. Give me my, I want my precious. Okay. I see this all the time. And I'm very clear about, you know, who I help and how and why and what the goal is and so on, because it has been my experience that people will always gravitate towards using the power to do good as opposed to eliminating the power. Well, of course, this is why you'll have Obama, you know, going on and on and on and on about all the abuses of power and how it's bad that Bush had this, whatever. And then he gets in there and then he does it. You know, I mean, that's as if he was, you know, not a tool of the same guys anyway. You know, I'm done. I don't play that game. I don't worry about how much media coverage you get. I don't worry about, you know, what they say or the spin doctors or the politicos or what the news media say. I don't worry about that. I don't worry about what the government says your vote totals were. I don't worry about it. I worry about you. I don't worry about the ship of state. I don't worry about the Titanic, you know, and trying to, you know, patch the hole. I want to save the people. Nobody ever even thinks of the people. You know, it's always the, you know, I don't know, who are the people out there saving you? You know, the people that are learning how to do square foot gardening? People that are teaching you how to feed yourself? Got chickens selling, you know, freeze-dried number 10 cans of fill-in-the-blank? You know, this is, you know, the seeds, you know, currency, gold, silver. I mean, these are the people that are trying to save you. They might even be trying to make a couple of bucks on the side, you know, whatever. Free market. Cool. I don't care. At least they're not, you know, selling, you know, torture apparatus or, you know, security cameras or, you know, guns to, you know, foreign go start revolution kind of crap, you know. I mean, at least they're doing something productive that's, you know, helps humanity, you know, a better mousetrap, something. This is, and the reason I bring this up and I make this so clear about, you know, how I want to do this, if I help anybody, if I advocate anybody, go help somebody, how they do it. Go set up, you know, what I got friends in San Francisco. What happens? We pay, you know, $1,000 for, you know, six weeks worth of vacant warehouse space near the wharf or something that we can just go in and just mass produce a bunch of signs, go put up in blanket for 1 week. Why, you think I can't do that? Like that. But who are they going to come after? They're going to come after his campaign? They're going to come after what? You start putting up a kind of man, ooh, really having an impact. You know, Pelosi, you know, the death queen or whatever, something happens, comes up about war, this, that, whatever. You do that and you bypass the media and you go straight to the people and you're putting banners and flyers and stuff and all the tourists there and everything and you're just saturating this election cycle with a message. You do that, they're not going to like it none too much. That's how people get killed. That's how people get targeted. That's how people get, really, you don't think so? You know, just read a history book. Heck, just read a history of San Francisco. So I'm going, you know, this is, we go after the Speaker of the House, you know, Pelosi, and we, you know, the Levolution does this. Do you think I'm going to be limited by any one congressional candidate that, you know, is going to be worried about vote tolls? Because what's going to happen, the side effect is going to be he's going to get a lot of attention. The side effect is going to be numbers are going to move. The side effect is going to be they're going to lie about the numbers. You know, media, they'll do the same thing they did to Dr. Paul. The better he did, the more spin they did, the more BS they slung. So what did we do? The more we went to the street, the more they had to do it. The more people saw that they lost credibility. We take the Levolution and we go and pick. I'm looking for somewhere. Give me someplace. Neck, we'll do it in Arizona here, man. It's around the corner, whatever. You know, I still got, a few days beginning of next week before I can decide if I, you know, want to run for office in Arizona. You know, I'm trying to get people to run for, you know, a bunch of stuff, send out mailing. We're making sure people have the information. This is how you get on the ballot. You can do it as a write-in in the primary, as a libertarian, easy. You get five people to write you in, boom, you're printed on the general election ballot. That's the way the Arizona laws are when you got ballot status, long story. But the point is that, look, do it. Let's go. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. But, you know, I want to go to San Francisco. Why? I don't have good candidates here that I could work with. I don't got my own things I can deal with here or anywhere else in the country. You know, well, sounds like we got, you know, a good candidate there. He was supported by a lot of people that I know that, you know, really insisted that we pay attention to his campaign, talk to him. He's endorsed by Dr. Paul. You know, he understands, he helped Dr. Paul back in 88 as a libertarian candidate. So, I mean, you know, the guy's got some street cred. I'm willing to, you know, give him some attention. But is that really the focus? It's the people. He just represents somebody that wants to be in charge of the wheelhouse of the Titanic. You know, it's going down. I mean, you know, if he wants to, you know, help and kind of, you know, help with the rescue or have attention to, you know, whatever the people, cool. But I'm focused on the people. I'm focused on the message. I'm focused on informing, freeing minds. And Nancy Pelosi, ooh, I wonder if we could have some fun. You see my point? Totally different goal. Totally. Now, there's a lot of overlap. You know, we can, there'd be some benefit, but I did the same thing for a year and a half or more dealing with Dr. Paul's campaign. Dr. Paul and I got along fine. He knew better. Just, you know, it's earned, you know, mess with him. He didn't want to get involved anyway. You know, just let him do whatever. But the campaign, I can't tell you how many times I got little local state guys trying to tell me, oh, this is what we want you to do. Yeah. Hey, man, you're confusing me with someone that cares what you want. We don't have anything to do with the campaign. We can't. I mean, you know, by law, I mean, not that I cared what that says, but just by I know better than be messing with collectives. You know, because then you got committees and permission slips and what we want and coordination with and all that. You know, heck no. I am so not playing that game. The reason the Lovevolution was so diverse, so overwhelming, so widespread, so disseminated across every demographic, because there was no controls. There was no one in charge. There was no one to say yes, no, nothing. There were no committees. There were no meetings. Every single time, and I got a lot of calls, a lot of contacts. Oh, we want to have the artwork. Can I put it on a t-shirt? Can I put it on a hat? We want to make the signs. How'd you do this? How would you do that? How would you, we have websites that were just on how to. I go, look, go here, do what you want. Well, we thought we need permission. I go, you got permission. You know, if you think you need to ask permission, you deserve to be told no. No. Why? Because you asked permission. I mean, you know, I mean, I'd be a real butthead about it. Because the thing is that I go, all I want is give me, you know, one hat. I got some t-shirts and hats and stuff. That's my payment for them using the logo, because they had to feel like they, you know, purchased the rights or something like that. Whatever makes them feel better. Because I'm telling you, we are in a cultural war. We had Heidi Beirich on yesterday afternoon. You go to the archive for yesterday afternoon's show, and you hear that was interesting. Southern Poverty Law Center. She's been on as like her fourth time or something. And she's just, and I'm going, how come John Stadtmiller, the owner of RBN, you know, gets on your list and I don't get on? I'm on his station. How come you got Gary Franchi? He and I co-chaired, co-emceed the Revolution March in Washington, D.C. He gets on, I don't get on. How come you got Ron Paul on your list? I'm Ron Paul Revolution. I don't get on. How come you got Catherine Bleich on there? You know, she's out there, you know, challenging the man. You're going after her and whatever, because she's challenging these fusion centers and so on with a Project Defuse. She's on. I'm not on. How come you got Bob Schultz? Bob Schultz, Jekyll Island, Continental. I went to Jekyll Island. He gets on. I'm not on. So let me explain it. Sheriff Mack. You know, good friends, known him since 94. He's a sheriff, worked with him a lot, having a show. He's on, I'm not on. We got Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers. You know, he spoke at the Freedom Summit this last December. He's on, I'm not on. I'm like, come on, Heidi. I mean, you know, what's the criteria here? You know what she said? Before, she said the reason they didn't put me on there because they knew I want to be. The other thing was that she goes, well, we don't put libertarians on. Really? Is that it? The libertarians get a pass? Libertarians can't get on the Southern Poverty Law Center Patriot list or something? Why? We're not hardcore enough? You know, they're talking about, oh, we want to redo the Constitution. I go, heck, man, that's a compromised document. As far as I'm concerned, I want none of the above. None government. I vote none. I'm an anarchist. Put me on. Nope, won't do it. I'm looking for consistency here. I'm going, you know, Heidi, man, you can see. I mean, we had an interesting conversation about immigration and the real goals there, and she provided some new information, some stuff I thought interesting, and it's worth listening to. But, I enjoy having her on. I mean, you know, we have a good time. We understand each other because I just want to make sure we have understanding. You know, I don't care about, you know, convincing her to, you know, agree with me. I just want to make sure she understands why I'm so convinced. All that agreement stuff comes later. You know, we're kind of turning her around a little bit. You know, she's my special project. But the thing is, I want to be crystal freaking clear on this. We are in a cultural battle. Why do you think the government spends tens of trillions of dollars over decades in, you know, it has to be trillions. I don't know if tens or not. I mean, it's a lot. Let's put it that way. It's definitely in the trillions of dollars over decades on propaganda, on the public government school system, You know, how much does that cost? Heck, here in Arizona, I think it's like 60-something plus percent of the state budget goes into government school indoctrination. So I'm going, you know, the only optimism I have on that is the fact that it takes that much money to even get them this far. What happens when the money goes away? What happens when they can't pay the soldiers? Ask Russia. What happens? So I can see this is going. And we need to have an infrastructure of humanity, of freedom, of at least an understanding, a network, a skeletal structure out there of just people that can at least answer the question, what the heck just happened? So I'm trying to explain to John Dennis. You want to know how the Levolution went wrong? You think that just happened? Well, it did. I mean, it was already there. It was a time, an idea whose time had come. I had the right person, the right time, the opportunity, and I knew this. But you think I was alone? Heck no. There's hundreds, thousands of activists around the country that I interfaced with. Over the years, I got to go, hey, watch, here we go. We're going to try this. And usually, you know, they'll give me a little bit of attention. They may not see the whole vision, but they'll at least, all I asked them was one simple thing. I'm going to send you some rolled up banners, okay? They were on vinyl that we got. My wife, I'll give you an example. My wife, we found out that we could, you know, print them on this banner material you get from used billboards. You know, that's on the back of that. Some of them are black, some of them are white. You know, we just cut them up and they were trash. I just want to get rid of them. Well, not anymore. They're recycling. Man, don't let the Levolution get those anymore. So they're kind of, you know, using them for roofs in Guatemala or something because they don't want us to have them. But they have other different kind of material that we use that's pretty cheap. So we go, all right, and we started doing it with Coroplast, and we started doing it with the banner material. We got that idea from some activists in Utah, in Salt Lake City. These young kids go, you know, you could use that banner material. I go, ooh, that's a good idea. So that's what we did. Then we have other things that we can use, and Tyvek. And my wife went on Craigslist and found these two big rolls of one was yellow and one was black vinyl. It's just a four-foot-wide roll, and we got them for like $40-$50, and it was hundreds of feet of this stuff. And she just happened to see it, and she goes, I know what we can use that for. And I'm like, sweet. So we took and did all these, put them together, and I sent them to libertarian activist friends I had around the country. And I said, all I need you to do is one thing. Put these up in various public places. Take video of you doing it. Send me the video disc, the tape, the mini disc. You just send me the tape. That's it. That's all I want you to do. Figured that was something they could do, have some fun. So different people went out with their families. You know, a good friend of mine, Jim Lozinski, is Manhattan chair of the Libertarian Party in Manhattan at the time. He goes out with his family, two little girls and his wife, and he just holds the signs, got other people to hold the signs, some cool stuff with street vendors and musicians and on the subway and stuff, and just got some time, you know, putting it in front of Fox News, you know, Ron Paul Revolution, putting it in front of Army Recruiter. You know, they were creative. Rockefeller Center, they had some cool stuff. They send that to me. Ooh, that was good. And New Hampshire was doing a bunch of stuff. The Carolinas, Memphis, you know, all these people they start sending, California, here in Arizona, send it, and we started putting together the videos, boom, that launched the Levolution. And they already had an infrastructure of libertarian activists around the country that understood exactly what it was we were trying to do. It was a revolution without violence, and it allowed the people to express themselves, and if they wanted to look what this meant, what this was about, what was the principles behind it, all they had to do is watch Ron Paul in any one of the early debates. You know, he come out. I mean, it took, what, 2-3 debates before it went, wow. He'd been butt-whipping on these guys. And they had no clue what to think of it. You know, Rudy Giuliani being stupid. I mean, you watched For Liberty, the movie. We put out tens of thousands of copies of that documentary. For Liberty, how the Ron Paul revolution watered the withered tree of liberty. You can go online and watch it. They got the full HD on there on Google Video, I think, now. You go put For Liberty, Ron Paul movie, or For Liberty movie in a Google search, boom, you can watch it. Quality, high quality movie. It's amazing what they did. It took them a year to do it after the revolution was over. And these guys are doing documentaries now. It's called American Descent. They were in New Hampshire a few weeks ago when I was back there. They were filming segments for this. They follow different families. This one segment that they were doing, 13 episodes that they're proposing. They did a pilot that they're working on now of this family that's moving from, I think it was Texas or Florida, I think it was Texas, that they're packing up the stuff, selling everything. They went on Facebook, kind of who's moving the New Hampshire Free State Project we want to follow, and they went down there. You know, it's the beautiful wife and the good-looking kids and the upstanding husband and all that, packing up, going to New Hampshire, be free. So who do they sell that to? Cable television. You know, you got conspiracies. You know, conspiracy theory with Jesse Ventura. Ooh, you start to get it. And then the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And you're wondering how it took so long to get to here now. It's a culture war. And we're on the front lines along with you.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
William Wallace, you stand in taint of high treason.
Against whom?
Against your king. Have you anything to say?
Never in my whole life did I swear allegiance to him.
It matters not. He is your king.
It matters not. He is your king. You know, I mean, I use that all the time. You know, they'll say something, oh, well, I can't. You know, they shouldn't. I go, it matters not. He is your king. Well, I want it. It matters not. He is your king. That's their mindset. It matters not. You live here under our jurisdiction. We got guns. Get used to it. That's what I'm in this to change. Do you or do you not own yourself? You know, those in the audience, you know, I'll put it up on today's thing here just a second. Call him a producer. I'm going to have her put up on today's archive the philosophy of liberty. Sarah, do me a favor. On today's archive for today's morning show, put the YouTube of the Philosophy for Liberty embedded in there somewhere. Can you go do that now? So you go in there right now, and you look up, give her a couple of minutes. You go in on today's archive show at the top of freedomsphoenix.com. You will see Philosophy for Liberty. It's like a 7-8 minute flash animation. And it was done by Ken Schooland. He's an economist at the University of Hawaii, and he's going to be at the Freedom Fest this weekend. I'll see him say, yo, what's up? Maybe we might get him as a speaker at the summit. But what happens is he was doing radio shows, little three-minute things that was for some local radio station there on economics. And it became so popular, it eventually became a book, The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible. And it was, that's a long story. But he had a lot of these different word pictures and stuff in there. And there was another gentleman, an activist that lived in Western Canada, that he went by Lux Luker, and he later died of complications from diabetes. That was sad. He was one of the first people to help with the MP3 archives or a show back in 2003. In 2003, and we just such a tapestry all over the world that we accumulate, you know, just our talents, and we were able to accomplish so many things. Well, he took and made this flash animation from some of the text that he had. That explanation of freedom, of liberty, of you own yourself is such a great, and it's in like 100-something languages. You send that over to China, man, ooh, they're banning that one because it's all about self-ownership. If you do not own yourself, who does? I put my hand on your shoulder and I say, whose life is this? You know, it's yours or it's somebody else's. That's at least a gift from God, and you're the ultimate steward, the one that signs the contract, the one that serves the time. I mean, you know, it's you, man. I don't know, you say, God made me do it. Yeah, well, you still did it. Okay? So I'm going, this is the concept. And if we keep freeing minds on that concept using whatever tools, even corrupt rigged elections, even then, hell, especially then, you know, that's a, you know, yep, you guys get it, y'all get it now. And the one thing we had the conversation when we first started the Ron Paul revolution, some of the key people behind that, we sat around and talked, we saw where it was going. I'd already started it. I'm like, you know, here it goes. And I'm going, you know, they're like, do we really want to, you know, get involved in this and fund this more and really push this, because we can see where this is going to go. Will it be counterproductive? Will it give people a false hope in a system that we know to be corrupt? And I go, you know, I think the net advantage is going to be this. They're going to see how corrupt it is. They're going to go in it. We're going to free some minds, and they're going to see just how corrupt the entire system is, how rigged it is. They're going to get involved, and they're going to see. And they did. So am I legitimizing this? I won't. I refuse to, because I know how bad it is. But it's an opportunity, and I need your help. Well, you know, I tell you what, you need my help. I'm here to help. You know, and what I hope you'll do is take advantage of the materials and the efforts that we do. It's up now. See, Sierra, boom, done. Boom, shakalaka. It's up there. Go watch. The Philosophy of Liberty. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Go to the morning radio show, July 7th. Boom, it's right there. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. You guys go get free. Free your mind, and your butt will follow. See you tomorrow.